Good evening, everyone. This is Marquise James Mayo, the host of the I'm Just Saying podcast. This is the 10th episode. Granted, the podcast has been around since 2019 in its current format, but this is also the world's most inconsistent podcast, which is something I am working on. I do want to get more consistent and put out more content. Now, tonight's episode is going back to the roots of when I started my content creation back in 2015, 2016, and that's talking about Narstown. But before I get into that, I just want to take a few minutes to get into this R. Kelly shit, right? And if anybody who happens to hear this podcast feels like I'm coming at them, you are more than welcome to address me. I'm speaking from a general perspective, and this will be drawing on what I've seen in social media, but like I'm not trying to point out any particular person or persons. I'm just going by what I've seen on social media. So, one thing I've been surprised by, and maybe I shouldn't be because the Boondocks predicted this a very long time ago, but the one thing I've been surprised by is the amount of people who defend listening, or I should say continuing to listen to R. Kelly. Here's my thing. I stopped listening to him years ago. I haven't streamed his music in a very long time, and I haven't downloaded anything of his in a very long time. Even to the point where if he's in a song that's not his song, I pretty much skip those songs. And some of those songs are songs I have always enjoyed. But for me, personally, I just can't listen to him anymore. So, my thing is, if you continue to listen to R. Kelly, that is your choice. I'm not here to condemn nor congratulate anyone who is doing either or. That's not my position. It's not my job. The thing that has been tripping me up is if you choose to continue to listen to him, what is the problem with people deciding not to listen to him anymore? It's regardless of whether they stopped listening to him years ago or now. You shouldn't have to defend your position. And I say that because if you feel like you're not doing anything wrong, why justify it? Just say you continue to listen to his music. He makes great music. That's all. If somebody want to come at you for that, then either you can ignore them, you can block them, or you can debate with them. But the idea of the justification, I don't think is necessary. And I don't think the idea of pointing out people who decided to stop listening to, I don't understand that either. You know, the unfortunate part of all this, but the reality of it is that the people that we look up to, whether it's music artists, you know, television stars, movie stars, athletes, you know, people who have gained some sort of celebrity. I am sorry, my dog is making noises. Regardless of what station they are in their celebrity, you know, what they're doing to become, what they did to become a celebrity, they're human beings. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to fuck up. Some of them are going to do horrible shit. Normal everyday people do horrible shit. So it doesn't mean that just because the person, because of celebrity, that they are immune to doing horrible shit. And we pick and choose who we want to support, you know, regardless of whatever it is that they have done or said. Like, for example, I don't listen to Kanye. I had a real issue with how he portrayed himself over the last few years. So, and I, that's not something for me to get into argument about people about. I don't give a fuck how you feel about him. That's how you feel about him. I don't listen to his music anymore. I still listen to Chris Brown's music. Once again, that is my personal thing. I choose to listen to his music. You can choose to listen to his music. You can choose to not listen to his music. I don't care. And that's what we, that's, that is the common sense thing we have to get to. Is if you choose to listen to someone or watch someone or support someone who has done something along those lines, you know, just some horrible shit that they, you know, have been charged with or convicted of or accused of. If you choose to continue to support them, you are well within your rights to do so. Stand on that shit. You don't have to go. I feel like if you go through all these hoops to justify why, then you're doing too much. You're inviting debate on your personal opinion. And while everyone is allowed to have opinions, if it's your personal opinion, no one is going to be able to change that opinion but you. You know, I've said in the past, like, you know, people can be wrong about their opinions 100%. But your opinion is your opinion. And no one can knock you off of that except for you. Somebody can present you with all the facts in the world. If you choose to stand firm on your opinion, hooray for you. Does that mean you could be wrong as hell? Yes, it can. But I don't know. I just feel like this whole discourse on him recently has been puzzling to me. Like I said, I haven't listened to him in years. I don't check for his music. The only reason I've been paying attention to anything is to see what the outcome of this trial was going to be. And the outcome of the trial is what I wanted to happen. I wanted him to be found guilty. Bear. My God, I'm sorry, y'all. He's scratching and it must feel really good to him. So I've already given this almost 8 minutes. So I'm going to end it there. I just feel like it's too much. It's people out here. Just stand on your opinion. Either you listen to them or you don't. And you don't, all these, you don't need a thesis to explain why you're continuing to listen to them. Just do listen to them. You don't have to stand on a soapbox and preach to everybody about why you still do or why you don't. It's your choice. It is what it is, but I just had to say that, get that off my chest. But the main reason about this podcast, the main topic I want to talk about is Norristown. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I moved out of Norristown in May. It's the first time I lived outside of Norristown, with the exception of when I was going to Temple. And I was living in Ambler. So for in my 38 years, you know, this is the first time, like, out, you know, obviously outside of college, that I lived outside of Norristown. So Norristown will always be near and dear to me. It will always be a part of who I am. My family, my friends, you know, some of the closest people in my life were born in Norristown, raised in Norristown, still live in Norristown, passed away in Norristown. You know, like, Norristown is part of who I am. So when I see my town struggling in many different ways, I want to be able to do anything I can to help. So Over the past week, couple weeks now, there's been so much going on in town. Shootings, you know, shit going on with the high school. You know, just stuff that I've always said and throughout my lifetime, like, Norristown is not a huge place. By no stretch of the imagination is Norristown a huge city. We're just not. But we have a lot of big city problems. So, I remember a while ago, I wrote down a list. It's been years of different things I felt like could help Norristown. I don't know where that list is right now. So, I'm just going to just kind of go off of the dome just based on what I feel would help, because the one thing about it is, it's one thing to complain about Norristown, is another thing to come up with solutions, to offer solutions, to be a part of the solutions. Ultimately, there's nothing wrong with complaining about something to an extent, because it brings problems to light. The question is, once the complaining has happened, what gets done? If you complain about it but don't do anything about it, then you're not part of the solution. You're pretty much a part of the problem. So my going to the things I think will help in the short term and in the long term, I feel that everything starts with education. Norristown is the seat of Montgomery County, right? Montgomery County has been, for a very long time, one of the wealthiest counties in Pennsylvania. And in many years, the wealthiest county in Pennsylvania. We are surrounded by Methacton, Colonial, PW, Upper and Lower Marion, Tredyffrin, Springford, you know, PV. There are a lot of districts within a stone's throw of Norristown that do phenomenally better than Norristown does. And you have to ask yourself the question why. You know, some of my most popular podcasts in the beginning is when I was talking about, you know, the school district and talking about just Norristown in general. And you know, going back to the data, you know, I'm not saying that those districts are better by opinion. I'm saying that those districts are better by the numbers. You can't argue with the numbers. What you can argue, though, is why the numbers are the way they are. How can a district like Methacton, which is literally right next door to Norristown, the districts border each other. How can a district like Methacton be so much better than Norristown? When I did those numbers back in 2016, Norristown district was in the 400s. It was like 420, 430 something in the state. Methacton was in the top 20. Two neighboring districts, both in Montgomery County. One is remarkably better than the other. So the questions at that point is why? And then how can we get Norristown, step by step, get Norristown to that, up to those, that level? You know, obviously it's not something that can happen overnight, but it is something that could happen when the families, the school district itself, the county, takes an interest in the education of its students. And it all starts with money. And not just the money, transparency about where that money goes. how much money is allocated toward the students as far as their learning, their materials, the curriculum. You know, how much money goes toward their actual learning? And how much money goes toward facilities? You know, how much money goes toward the salary of the staff in the district? There has to be full transparency so that people don't wonder why things are the way they are. The answer could be there, but if there isn't any transparency, if there isn't any forthcoming of information without people having to dig and dig and dig, then that's how conspiracy theories start. That's how rumors start. There should be a full transparency every school year, and there might be. And if there already is, that just means that there needs to be more of an effort by the families to find out what, you know, where to get this information from, as long as it doesn't resort in you having to go on a wild goose chase to find the information. You know what I mean? But there has to be a full disclosure on the money. How can it work that the district can get more money without, you know, putting a huge tax burden on the residents of Norristown? Norristown has very high taxes compared to a lot of other towns in Montgomery County and in the state of Pennsylvania as a whole. One thing you can't do is to continue to increase that tax burden, because that pushes more and more people out of Norristown. They won't be able to afford to buy a home here. They won't be able to afford to pay the taxes, property taxes, school taxes. Like it won't work. But there has to be a way. And this is where local government, state government, county level government, this is where the government comes in, I believe. How is it that we can increase education funding, state level government? How is it that we can increase education funding in a way that is going to be beneficial to the districts, not just Norristown, but other districts like Norristown who struggle? You know, there shouldn't be that huge of a discrepancy in school districts within the county. It doesn't make any sense. And once you can put quality education on the table, now you're starting to build from the ground up. Now you're getting somewhere. So you tackle the education problem first. You figure out where the money can come from, where the money's going. My dog, Bear, no. This is a bed, buddy. You can't tear this apart. No. I'm sorry, y'all. He's still a puppy, but he's trying to tear apart one of the little dog beds. But yeah, like, you start with the education. You fix that problem. You focus on that. You fix it. All right. Education. We got it somewhat squared away. More money's coming to the schools. We're not losing programs. We're gaining programs. You know, parents aren't feeling the burden of sending their kids somewhere else. My kids don't go to Norristown anymore. That wasn't the easiest decision for me. I went to Norristown. You know, my sister went to Norristown. My mom went to Norristown. Aunts and uncles and cousins all came through Norristown. But me, like a lot of other parents, felt like in order to give our children the best chance at the best education possible, you had to move them out of Norristown, out of the school district. And whether people want to believe it or not, that is not a decision that a lot of parents make with glee. You're not smiling and happy while you're making this decision to pull your kid out of Norristown. It sure as hell wasn't that way for me. I knew it needed to be done. And I dealt with something that I had worked on for a long time. And once the opportunity presented itself, it was done. But even now, I wish it didn't have to be that way. You know, but based on current circumstances, I know I made the best decision for my kids. So the first level is education. When the people are educated, they make better decisions, generally speaking. They make better financial decisions. They make better career decisions. You know, they make better, you know, like how, like, you know, where they're going to move, what kind of house to buy, what type of house, you know, the money's involved, and then how to, you know, they make this better decisions when it comes to purchasing a vehicle. They'll make it, you know, when someone is educated, they just have the tools to do better. That is, you know, what education is supposed to be about giving you the tools to do better. So education starts to come up in town. And then you start to work on things like housing. You know, it's all well and good to put a luxury apartment complex on Main Street. But if that leads to the gentrification of Norristown, like you see in a lot of other places, you know, Bed-Stuy, you know, up in New York and then Brooklyn and Harlem, and, you know, you see a lot of places that have been completely gentrified over the years. And the question is, you could have built those communities up for the people that are living in those communities, but you don't want to do that. You wanted to basically price those people out of those communities, move new people in. So now that everything looks great and, you know, this nice, vibrant community, but what happens to the people that can no longer afford to live there? That's my worry for the housing situation in Norristown, is that you put up these luxury apartments, you keep putting up these housing developments that are ridiculously priced. And Norristonians, the people that have been here forever, who one day wish to own a home. That's, you know, they work their ass off to get to the point where they can own a home. But they can't afford anything in Norristown. So, and if they can't afford anything in Norristown, buying a house, where's that going to put them? What are they going to do? Either they're going to have to leave Norristown and try to find somewhere cheaper, or they're going to have to continue to rent. And I, you know, like I said, it's all well and good. You put some luxury apartments down there, whatever. They shouldn't be so luxury that people can't, you know, the people who live in town, who work their asses off, law-abiding citizens, want to, you know, have a nice place to live. It shouldn't be so luxury that they can't afford this stuff. Because then you're alienating your the people from your town. So I think keeping an eye on housing in Norristown is going to be important, because what you're also doing is you're creating, which has been going on for a while, but you're creating inequity in Norristown. You'll have these areas of higher wealth, and in these areas of lower wealth. And the thing is, you know, like I said, you got to go by the numbers. In these areas of lower wealth, that's where you have a lot of the crime. That's where you have a lot of the just unhealthy environmental situations. I'm not just talking about from a pollution, that kind of environmental. I'm talking about, you know, the state of the houses. You know, you walking around, there's still boarded up houses, you know, empty houses everywhere, empty lots all over the place, trash all over the streets, you know, like, you know, run down or empty businesses. Bear, he waits until now to make all this noise when I'm trying to record. So this, that the housing situation is something that needs to be monitored to make sure it's not being done to invite in a new element and expel the old element, expel the people who put their life and their blood into Narshtown. And then you look at crime in Narshtown. Narshtown has big city crime. And I said before, Narshtown is not a big city. But the shootings, you know, killings, I mean, this shit is wild. And I am and will never be an advocate of putting more police on the street, because that is its own volatile situation when you put more police in the street in lower income areas where the majority of people are minorities. That leads his own, that turns into his own problem that I do not want to perpetuate. So one way you fix crime is to create opportunity. You create opportunity by creating businesses in town, by inviting more businesses to come in town, by cleaning up the streets. And I mean physically cleaning up the streets. You know, the borough should be able to hire, and I'm not just talking about the street sweeper coming down once a week. I'm talking about be able to hire people to clean the streets block by block. You're cleaning these streets. If one thing, it is nice to drive into town and drive down some of these streets that are super clean. You just, it feels inviting. It feels like, you know, everybody around here really care about what's going on. And that's how Narshtown should be across the board. And if that means that the borough has to hire people, you're creating jobs. You hire people to clean the streets at a suitable living wage. You know, don't try to throw $10 an hour at them and have them pretty up to town. This is creating an opportunity. This is your town. You live here. You help clean it up and keep it clean. You should be able to afford to live here, to buy a home here. You know what I mean? And going back to the education thing, and this is not just Narshtown, but I wonder if this is something that, once again, local government, county level government, state government, whatever, could help with. You know, this whole the school busing thing, like, you know, there's a shortage of school bus drivers across the country. If the companies can be incentivized to pay a suitable wage, to offer benefits, and to make sure that people have enough hours to earn enough money to live and not have to have 2 and 3 jobs. I think that can solve the bus driver dilemma, because more people are going to see that as an attractive job. You know, if you're working as a bus driver, is the way your hours are set up, it's not necessarily easy to work multiple jobs. You know, you go to ride in the morning, you have a few hours in the afternoon to chill, but then you go back for after school. And then some schools have late buses and sports buses and stuff like that. So it's not, you're not getting 40 hours a week. It's very difficult to do that. And I feel like if they are incentivized in some way to offer better pay, to offer, even if you can get 40 hours, you're still eligible for benefits because of the nature of the job, because this is not a job that can guarantee 80 hours every 2 weeks. We're not going to have that be a penalty towards you as far as benefits go. We can still offer you a benefits package. And it doesn't, it wouldn't be the greatest benefits package in the world, and I understand that. But having health insurance, as we know, having health insurance is paramount right now. You can't be without health insurance right now. You just can't. You know, the risk is literally life and death if you don't have health insurance right now. So that was just an addition to the education, is, you know, you fixed the school bus problem as well. But going back to crime, by creating opportunity in Norristown, more businesses, after school programs, different programs to allow people to learn different, whether it's trades or computer skills or whatever the case may be, in Norristown. I'm not talking about having to go to King of Prussia to learn this stuff, having to go to Philly, having to go here, having to go there. Have this stuff in Norristown. And there are some programs here. I know there's the senior programs and there are some things here. But there needs to be a robust system of bettering yourself here in Norristown that you don't have to go outside of Norristown to do. And we, you know, we have public transportation. You have rideshare services. If it's within Norristown, it will be a lot easier for people to get to than having to travel outside of Norristown to get to some of these programs. And if people see hope, if people see, you know, that there's a chance that they can do better here in town, just like the numbers, the numbers don't lie. You see across the board. And the towns and the cities, the villages, whatever across the country, where you see low crime, there's opportunity for people. There's opportunity for them to do better than what they're doing in that moment. There's opportunity for them to grow, not only in their careers, opportunity to grow and, you know, to buy a bigger home, to go from being a renter to being a homeowner. There's opportunity to grow. That's what people are looking for. And I just like, and there's, you know, it's a lot of other things that can be done. And that's just a few of the things that I've been thinking of since these conversations have been jumping off on Facebook and stuff. But there has to be, we got to start somewhere. Personally, I think you start with education, but we got to start somewhere. We start somewhere and start seeing some real, tangible change in an area. Then you're going to start to see things heading in a positive direction. And that's all I'm saying. This is, we're not Philadelphia. We're not New York City. We're not Los Angeles. We're not Houston. We're not Chicago. It shouldn't take a rocket scientist to figure out these problems. We know what the problems are. The problems that have been in Norristown have been there for a very long time. If you've lived in Norristown as long as I did, you saw the decline. When I was a little kid, it was and the people who are older than me, like I said, I'm 38. The people who are older than me saw the decline even before then. Like when I was a little kid, I loved Norristown when I was a kid. You know, as much fun as I had growing up, I didn't see the things that the older generation saw from when they was kids. And then, you know, now the funny thing is I didn't see it. And I'm sure a lot of my generation really didn't see it either. We were outside having a good time. My children, this generation, they see it. They are more in tune and more tapped in with what's going on than what we were when we were kids. That's my personal feeling. So if they can see the problems, if they can see things ain't right, all right, we need to fix this. There's no longer this kind of, oh, just old heads just complaining. It's no longer that situation. The kids know what's up. They're in this shit. We need to make it right for them. So that's just my little 3 cents, a little bit more than 2 cents, my little 3 cents on the subject. So I don't know, man. It's like I said, I may have moved away, but Norristown is that's my home. That's my home. It will always be my home. And I want to see Norristown thrive in a way that it hasn't never thrived before. A new golden age, if you will. So hopefully the right people in the right positions can start to actually do something, and it'll go from stop. You know, it'll stop being a pipe dream. It'll stop being little conversations every now and again, and you'll start to see some tangible action. So we'll see what happens going forward, but I really, really, truly, truly hope that we can see a turnaround and what's going on in Norristown. Once again, my name is Marquise James Mayo Sr. I am the host of the I'm Just Saying podcast. I wish you all to have a wonderful evening. And let's make this work, yo. Let's make this work. Our kids, our grandkids, the future of Norristown deserves it.